There was a man Benjamin, whose name is Kish, and he talks about his, where he's from, and he had a choice and handsome son. It says that Song was born to a very influential household. His dad was wealthy. It says that he has power. That money means that he had not only influence over the other tribes and the people there. He was well respected, but he had money. He was powerful in that way. He was wealthy, and that he had power amongst Israel. And Saul himself was big and strong, head and shoulders over all the other men of Israel. And it says a very good looking man, the Bible says. From the outside appearance, he looked like a king. He looked like the sort of man. He was a big, strong mush, big, lean fella, bigger than everyone else, nice looking, rugged. He looked like someone that you'd choose to be king. From a worldly point of view, from the way we look at things, he looked like a capable man. He come from a capable household. He looked like a capable man. From the outside appearance, he looked like a king. But what's not mentioned in the first two verses is God. God's not mentioned. It talks about his father and his descendants and what tribe they're from, and that they had power and they had influence. It says that Paul come from a wealthy household, an influential family. He was good looking. But nothing said about his relationship with the God of Israel. Nothing said about his relationship with God. And like, and listen, look, when we go through this, you're going to see Saul, me and Charles talking about it, seemed to be like he was doomed from the start. Israel got the king that they asked for. God, like, you heard about it last week. Who preached last week? John. And Johnny was saying that God didn't want them to have a king. He wanted to be their king. Be king of their hearts and their lives. But they demanded a king. He said, just let them have it then. But they're going to get the one they deserve. And what the person is that they wanted was someone that looked the part. We want someone like the pagans have got. Like the other nations have got. We want a man to rule over us. Well, they all look the part. They're all wealthy. They're all strong. But they take liberties with the people. And that's what you're going to have to suffer. They got the king that they asked for. And I think, let me tell you something sometimes. I think that we have to be guided. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit teaches us or leads us into the things that we should pray for. We have to be very careful the things that we pray for sometimes. Not that God will give us bad things, but we have to be prepared for the things that God does give us. There's a difference. God won't give us bad things, but we have to be prepared for the things that God does give us. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. Lord, use me. All right, okay. Yeah, go and do that. Could it be on a different day? Could we choose a different time? Could I do it at my leisure? Lord, I want you to change me because I'm rotten to the core. And Lord, even if you have to break me, all right, I'll show you. Yeah, I'll break you. Lord, what you're doing to me is the state of it. I told you to minister to me and the state of it ended up in. But I had to break you before. And it's like anything. Before God can use anything, he has to break you. I'm not saying we should be frightened to pray, or we should be frightened to ask God to minister into our lives, or we should be frightened to God to change our situations and change our lives and change our children. But we have to be aware, Lord, also as well, prepare me to receive the things that you're going to give me. Prepare me for me to walk down the road that you have chosen, Lord. Because what I've said is, Lord, I'm going to follow you no matter the cost, and it is going to cost. Prepare me for that. And the people was not prepared to have a king like Saul. God gave them the king that they asked for, and it was a man who looked the part, but nothing's mentioned about his relationship with God. It was all about the outside appearance. When they twigged him, they thought, dick it in, there's a mush he is. But there was nothing going on the inside. He had no relationship with the Lord. There was nothing to say about him in these two verses about his relationship with God, because there was nothing to say. Saul reflected the spiritual state of the whole nation of Israel. There was something spiritual going on. There was some sort of outside of appearance that they was people of God, but inside it was like they was dead. They come to a point where they just wanted to be like the rest of the world. We want what the rest of the world's got. Give us a king like the pagans have got. Let him rule over us. That's what we want. Even when they tried carrying the ark, they pulled it with oxen and on a cart instead of the men carrying it. That's how the pagans carried their godly, the pagan vessels and things like that. What a shame and a poor reflection of Christ it will be for us as Christians, for me, for you, if one day when people talk about us, they only talk about, like this Bible is, the only thing it's got to say about Saul here is how powerful his family was, his bloodline, where he come from, how influential and how wealthy they was, and how good looking he was. What a shame it would be one day if someone mentions me, Joseph Anderson, says I know him, and don't even mention how I love the Lord. Don't even mention that I was a Christian. But because of the way I live and speak and act, the only thing they've got to say about me is, oh mate, he could eat a breakfast as big as that. Do you know what I mean? Do you understand what I'm saying though? Oh, seeing he was a chad. Well, it'd be good if one day, if any of us in here, any of the men and women, oh, seeing he could have a pogger, he could. Oh, she was a funny rabbit, she was. She could cook the best meat pudding in the country. She was, oh, I'll tell you what, her own was spotless. And isn't it nice for people to say nice things about you? It's nice for people to say nice things about you. But please, Lord Jesus, that one day when people talk about me and mention my name, they say, that fellow was a Christian.
Amen. Amen.
That fellow loved the Lord. He was a Christian. Amen. He was a Christian. When people mention my name, they go, yeah, he might have been like that once, but ever since he's been a Christian all this time, that fellow's a Christian. What a shame it is here that Saul, not one bit's mentioned about his relationship with the Lord. But you see, David made terrible mistakes. David done loads of things wrong. What did the Bible have to say about him? A man after God's own heart. What a lovely thing they've said about you. What was Abraham called? A friend of God. Or let someone say that man was a friend of God, that man was. What a shame it would be one day if the only thing that people talk about us or mention about us is how good looking that man was, or how good looking that woman was, or they were good money getters, or they could have a pugger, or he could sing, he could do this, he could do that. And they mention names about, what testimony have I been? What has my life come to is that when people mention my name, they don't say that I was a Christian and that I love the Lord. And why wouldn't they say such things about me? Because there's nothing to say. Our relationship with Christ must be our defining characteristic. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. Is that when people meet me, or if anyone gets to know me, the thing that stands out the most is that I love the Lord. That I belong to God. Not that I'm anything special, or I'm some big, strong, powerful Christian, because there's no such thing. I want them to see the grace of God as well. I want them to see, I will make mistakes. I've done loads of things wrong since I've been a Christian. But I hope the people can see the grace of God in me. It must be our defining characteristic. Our thing shouldn't be that we go to church or whether this sort of person or that sort of person or they can do this, they can do that. But that we love the Lord. Let that be the thing that people notice about us and when they talk about us, that's what they see. It says in verse 3, now the donkeys of Kish, which is his father, Saul's father, were lost, and Kish said to his son, Saul, please take one of the servants with you, arise and go look for the donkeys. So he passed through the mountains of Ephraim and through the land of Shalisha, but he did not find them, and they passed through this land, that land. 3 days he was gone. 3 days, it gets to the point. Hey, listen, his father's asked him to do something. He's an obedient son. He's a good age by this time. He's an obedient son. His father's told him, please go and do that for me. And he's doing it to the best of his ability. He's got and he's gone. He's been gone 3 days, travelling with a servant, looking for these donkeys. There must have been real good donkeys, mustn't they? Do you know what I mean? It was worth him going out 3 days looking for them, not coming home. And in the end, he said, listen, let's get back. Because in the end, my father's going to be more worried about us than he is the donkeys. He's going to forget about the donkeys and think, what's happened to me boy? And look, we're going to see that it's through him looking for these donkeys, he comes to this town and he meets Samuel, the prophet. And God's already spoke to Samuel and said, when you see the man coming up the path for you tomorrow, I'm going to point him out to you. That's the man I want you to anoint as king. So God's got a plan here. Saul's going to be led to the throne as king, the first king of Israel, by three missing donkeys. That's how God's plan's going to fold out. He's going to get him. This is all God's plan. Same as simple as this. My donkeys are gone. Go and find the donkeys. And it's going to lead him down a road, down a path, till he bumps into Samuel. Samuel's already been pre-warned, pre-told. When you see this man, I want you to bring him in. I want you to anoint him as king. He's going to be king over Israel. Blah, 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 blah. Never underestimate how God uses circumstances to bring about his will. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. He put Daniel in the lion's den to prove his faithfulness, but to prove to Daniel who God was, who he was. Look what I'm going to do for you, Daniel. I'm going to put you in an impossible situation to prove that I can do impossible things. Amen? He put the Israelites in the wilderness to prove that he could provide for them. You bring us out here, we're going to starve. Now you're going to drink from a rock. You're going to eat manna from heaven, food from heaven. You're going to eat meat. I'm going to look after you. A pillar by fire by night and a pillar of a cloud by day to cover you from the sun. Listen, God's put them there. What was God showing them in this situation, in this circumstance? Look what I can do. Never underestimate what God can do and show us and is teaching us through circumstances of our life. Saul just thought he's gone out looking for donkeys. He must have thought to himself, as a life, wherever these three things gone, days have been out searching for these three busy things. Then all of a sudden he meets the man of God. He gets anointed as king. He put the three men in the fiery furnace to show his protection. That even if you go through a fire, I'm going to be with you. When Nebuchadnezzar looked inside the fire, he said, a fourth man I see. We talk about what God can do. God is faithful. God is a healer. God is a saviour. God is a provider. God brings comfort. God brings joy. God can do this. God can do that. How are we ever going to know what God can do unless we experience it? All the time we're wrapped up in cotton wool and there's plenty of money in the pocket and the children are all right and it's all lovely and happy at home and there's no problems with no one and everything's cushy. What do you need God for? Because that's how the world thinks. And how long would it take us to think like that? What do I need God for? Everything's cushy. But when the circumstance happens, I don't know about you, my prayer life's a lot better when I'm going through stuff than when I'm not going through stuff. My prayer life becomes a lot better. I draw close to the Lord. And let me tell you something. I know that God can provide. Because since I've been a Christian, I woke up and had £10 in my pocket. And dig at me, I ain't starved, have I? Been a lot of provision going on in my life. Loads of provision I've had. I know that the Bible says this. And it's a promise I took over years ago. The Bible says, when a man walks with the Lord, he makes even his enemies at peace with him. Amen. Hallelujah. I thank the Lord for that. I've seen God heal. I know the Lord has healed me in my life. I know the Lord has given me comfort, give me peace. I know the Lord has moved in situations in mine and Vicky's life, in our marriage, in our children. I've seen God do work and I've experienced that through circumstances. We experience the provision and the grace and the character of God and the closeness and the comfort of God through circumstances. Never underestimate. But what do we do? And I ain't no different. Oh, please. What's going on now? Get me out of this one. Get me out of this one. Also, I want to show you St. Joseph. Just hold tight. Be still. Know that I'm God. Keep going. I'm going to show you something. Oh, please, there's a state of me now. What's going on? I thought it was all going to be cushy. Now, what is this going on? I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you something. It's a mistake to ignore the moving of God in our lives through circumstances. God wanted to use this situation to guide Saul. Even though he wanted to be king over their lives, even though he didn't want him to have a king, but he said, okay, we'll give it to him. And even he's still going to guide Saul. He's still going to lead Saul to Samuel, so Samuel can anoint him, and all the nation will accept him for who he is. God will often use circumstances in our lives in the same way. We need to trust the Lord in his guidance and his ability and what he can do for them things. Remember this, we're never on our own. And I thought of that, I read it down about Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, who was in the fiery furnace, and there was a fourth man in the fire with him. God ain't going to stand outside that fire and go, just keep going. Lord, I'm mooring here. I feel like I'm drowning. I'm burning up. No, what does the Lord do? He step into the fire with you. Amen. And let me tell you something, that's a great comfort. But we need to experience that. We can only experience that, each and every one of us individually in our own lives. I can't go by your testimony that God delivered you once. I need to experience that for myself. So God has to put me in it so he can take me out of it. And that's how it works sometimes. So what do I need to do? Lord, how do I reconcile this, Lord, in my own life? I don't want to suffer, but I realise circumstances do happen sometimes in life, and I've got to go through it, and you're going to hold me hand. So what I do, I say, Lord, you know what? Help me to see what you're doing in this. Help me to be patient. Help me to know that you ain't left me and that you're here. And I ain't got to worry because you have brought about this. Just like Saul got led to the throne through three donkeys going missing, you're going to lead me somewhere. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Just like Saul, we can be oblivious to what God is leading us into or through our circumstances. When these things are happening, Saul didn't have a clue that he was going to be made king. He's like, what, me? I'm the least of everybody. You're joking, and you can't be king, he says to Samuel when you read further down in the story. Sometimes we can be oblivious to what God is doing. But brothers and sisters, hold fast, because when you get to the end, it's going to be a testimony, hallelujah. You're going to say, Lord, I can look back now and I see you working in that. I see that you was doing something in that. But it's not nice when we're in it, is it? We can be oblivious to what God is leading us through in our circumstances. But the lesson here ain't to be learned by Saul. Because Saul didn't have a clue what was going on. As cranky as it sounds, the lesson here is to be took from the dumb animals, the donkeys. Because there was a point, I don't know exactly what the details was, but there was a point God said to them, get out and go. What do? They go out and went. Them donkeys go up and went when God told them to. They went, he was looking for them 3 days, he couldn't find them. And you read down further, they end up back and someone goes, oh, we found them. They was alright, they was only around the corner, whatever happened. But the testimony is here, is that even dumb animals, even them 3 donkeys, was wise enough to be obedient to God and be led by God. Even they heard the voice of the Lord and they was obedient to it. How much more should we be? Verse 5. When they had come to the land of Zuph, Paul said to his servant who was with him, come, let us return, lest my father cease caring about the donkeys and become worried about us. And he said to him, look now, there is the sea, a man of God, and he is an honourable man. All the things that he says surely come to pass. So let us go there. Perhaps he can show us the way that we should go. Saul's servant he's got with him, his answer to the problem goes to show a lot of how spiritual these two men are, how godly minded they are. Their only focus of their heart, instead of seeking after, Samuel's a man of God. Samuel's been doing the rounds, like was preached the other week. He's been going around prophesying, doing the rounds, judging Israel, looking after the people. This servant knows that there's a man here, who's a man of God, an honourable man, and anything he says is going to happen, happens. You can bank on him, he's a man of God. He's a prophet. What's the first thing they go and ask the man of God? Not spiritual advice. Not spiritual advice, tell us something from the Lord. Encourage us in saying spiritual. What's the first thing they go and ask this man who, whatever he says, comes true? Where's me donkeys at? Where's me donkeys at, though? Do you know where the donkeys are? Show us where we've got to go to find the three donkeys. And I think I can be like that sometimes. I think I can ask God. The Bible says you ask and you don't receive because you ask amiss. You ask the wrong things with the wrong motives and you wonder why you don't receive from the Lord. We have, not that I'm a man of God, not that I'm like anyone like Samuel. I'm just a servant, the same as everybody else. But you do. People do come and ask me questions because I'm a pastor. And now they ask me, how many pints of beer can I have till I'm sinning? A man's got some stuff for sale, but when he bought it was Chordy. He never chored it, someone else chored it, and I'm buying it off of him. So I ain't chored it. Can I still buy it? The questions people ask you is how close I can get to the line of sin. Like, if there's a line, and this side, I'm lost, I'm finished. And this side, I'm by the skin of my teeth. Show me the skin of my teeth side. And then point the line out to me, because I'll walk that line. No, the Bible says that all those who name the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. You know what that means? Their sin, run from it. Them situations you think, I could get drawn in over here, run from it. You know what? That's not going to be healthy for me and my family if we get involved in that. Run from it. Don't walk the line. When we're seeking God, don't ask God stupid things. Talk to the Lord about yourself, about your heart, about your life, about your children, about the salvation of your family. Sometimes we use prayer like Saul used his question to Samuel. Show me where them things are that I want. Show me where them things are that cost me money and I don't want to lose them. I'm not saying, remember this, look, please don't get me wrong. We're told, Jesus taught us to ask for provision. The Bible says a lazy man don't deserve to eat. Jesus told us to ask for provision when he talked about prayer. If God fills your pocket, there's nothing wrong with that. It's a blessing, it's a good thing. Go and have full and plenty. But when you come to the Lord, don't ask him, where are them things at I want? Where are them things gone? No, we're talking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I use my prayers like Saul used his question. Lord, give to me. But I've learned the hard way. It's got to be the other way round. Lord, what can I do for you? Lord, I come before you today to ask what I can do for you, Lord, what you want of me. I come to ask of you and say, Lord, give me, show me this way, show me that path, put this right, put that right. And there's nothing wrong with asking for them things. You should never feel guilty for asking the Lord to move in situations and bless. But how can I be a Christian and I don't come to the Lord? Maturity, about being a mature Christian, is coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, you know what? You've saved me. The Bible says I'm bought at a price. I no longer belong to myself. I belong to you, the Bible says. I'm yours for a price. Lord, what would you have of me? Where do you want me and my little family? What do you want from me, from my life, Lord? What's displeasing in my life to you, Lord? Show me these things. Let them be repented of. Lord, how can you use me? Put someone in my path this week, this day. Lord, show me how to be a better husband, a better Christian. Let me be a better wife, a better Lord, and all for your glory, Lord. Not so people talk about me and say I was a good person. so I can glorify your name. What a question. Sometimes I'm like Saul and his servant. I come before the Lord and I just say, Lord, where's that thing I'm looking for? And I know the Lord has said to me, sometimes you shouldn't be looking for it in the first place. Where's them things I'm looking for, Lord? When really what I should be looking for is you, Lord. Your will, your grace, and to seek your service. When was the last time, me included, that we come before the Lord and we say, Lord, what would you have of me? And brothers and sisters, I encourage you. Be prepared for the Lord to speak to you, though. Say, Lord, no, I'm going to ask you what you want of me, but Lord, prepare me to give it over. Prepare me to go and do it. See what the Lord will do in your life. See where the Lord will take you, what he'll do. Let this be the start of some freshness in your Christianity. Let this be the time where you feel different. I've been saved 22 years. You know what I hope? I'm here for another 22 years, and the next 22 years better than the previous ones. But I can do more for the Lord, go more places for the Lord, seek God's face more, do more, love more, preach more, pray more. It was a shame. You could tell where they was by the question that they asked. The Bible says this: we know that we will receive all things that we have asked him when we pray according to his will. Lord, what's your will for me? And then teach me to pray for these things, Lord. How many wasted prayers? How many prayers have I wasted because I'm asking for God things or situations that he's never going to move in, doors he's never going to open, and things he's never going to give me because it's not his will? I need to start saying, Lord, what would you have of me? Where would you have me, Lord? Where do you want to use me, my God? Change me, use me, open my mouth, lead me, guide me. That's the prayer of a mature Christian. Let's be fair, that's what we all need to be. That's what God's trying to grow us up to be, mature Christians. Not what, Lord, you can do for me, but Lord, what can I do for you? And I want to encourage you tonight. Listen, just them little lessons there. Let the, when people mention us, let it be because we're Christians. And they know we're Christians when people talk about us. And let's give more of ourselves to the Lord. Let's give more of ourselves to the Lord. Lord, have more of me than what you've ever had before. Use me, my Lord. That's where I want to be. That's how God's speaking to me just recently. Let that be our prayers. Lord, what can I do for you? Amen. Let's pray.